Lesson 8. Outcomes. Identify processes for evaluating progress at a hazardous materials incident. Evaluating progress. The final aspect of the APAE process is looking back or evaluating progress. This evaluation is conducted throughout the incident and continues until termination. Skill Sheet 25-5 provides basic steps for evaluating and reporting progress at a hazardous materials incident. The following sections address progress reports, recovery, when to withdraw, termination, progress reports. If an IAP is effective, the IC should receive favorable progress reports from tactical and/or task supervisors, and the incident should begin to stabilize. As new information becomes available and circumstances change, the IC should also reevaluate the plan. If the initial plan is not working, it must be changed either by selecting new strategies or by changing the tactics used to achieve them. In accordance with predetermined communication procedures, first responders should communicate the status of the planned response and the progress of their actions to the IC. Responders must be trained to use the communication equipment they are issued and be familiar with the AHJ's communication procedures. When to withdraw the IAP must be re-evaluated and possibly revised should mitigation efforts fail or the situation worsen or intensify. If the threat of bleav or other dangerous situation develops, it may become necessary to withdraw immediately. Some indicators to withdraw include, Figure 25.80. Sudden change in temperature. Sudden change in pressure. Audible indicators of a pressure relief device activating. Sudden increase in flames. Recovery. Normally, the last strategic goals at a hazardous materials emergency are recovery and termination efforts. Recovery deals with returning the incident scene and responders to a pre-incident level of readiness. Termination involves documenting the incident and using this information to evaluate the response. The major goals of the recovery phase are as follows. Return the operational area to a safe condition. Debrief personnel before they leave the scene. Return the equipment and personnel of all involved agencies to the condition they were in before the incident. On-scene recovery. On-scene recovery efforts aim to return the scene to a safe condition. These activities may require the coordinated effort of numerous agencies, technical experts, and contractors. Generally, fire and emergency services organizations do not conduct remedial cleanup actions unless those actions are absolutely necessary to eliminate conditions that present an imminent threat to public health and safety. If such imminent threats do not exist, contracted remediation firms under the oversight of local, state/provincial and federal environmental regulators generally provide for these cleanup activities. In these situations, the fire and emergency services organization may also provide control and safety oversight according to local SOPs. On-scene debriefing. On-scene debriefing, conducted in the form of a group discussion, gathers information from all operating personnel, including law enforcement, public works, and EMS responders. During the debriefing stage, responders should obtain the following information. Important observations. Actions taken. Timeline of those actions. During the hazardous communication briefing, required by OSHA in the U.S., provide personnel with information concerning the signs and symptoms of overexposure to the hazardous materials involved in the incident. It is important that this debriefing process be thoroughly documented. Each person attending must receive and understand the instructions and sign a document certifying that the information was both received and understood. Provide the following information to responders before they leave the scene. Identity of material involved. Potential adverse effects of exposure to the material. Actions to be taken for further decontamination. Signs and symptoms of an exposure. Mechanism by which a responder can obtain medical evaluation and treatment. Exposure documentation procedures. Operational recovery involves actions necessary to return resource forces to pre-incident readiness. These actions involve release of units, resupply of materials and equipment, decontamination of equipment and PPE, preliminary actions necessary for obtaining financial restitution, The financial effect of hazardous materials emergencies can greatly exceed that of any other activity conducted by the fire and emergency services. Normally, a fire and emergency services organization's revenues obtained from taxes or subscriber fees are calculated based upon the equipment and personnel necessary to conduct fire suppression and other emergency activities. Communities should have in place the necessary ordinances to allow for the recovery of costs incurred from such emergencies. A vital part of this process is to document costs through the unit log and other tracking mechanisms. Termination. In order to conclude an incident, the IC must ensure that all strategic goals have been accomplished and the requirements of laws have been met. Documentation, analysis, and evaluation must be completed. The termination phase involves two procedural actions: post-incident critiques and post-incident analysis, PIA. Post-incident critique. OSHA Title 29 CFR 1910.120 mandates that incidents are critiqued for the purposes of identifying operational deficiencies and learning from mistakes. As with all critiques performed by fire and emergency services, hazardous materials incident critiques need to occur as soon as possible after the incident and involve all responders, including law enforcement, public works, and EMS responders. As with other administrative and emergency response functions, documentation of the critique lists those individuals in attendance as well as any operational deficiencies that were identified. Post-incident analysis. The post-incident analysis process compiles the information obtained from the debriefings, post-incident reports, and critiques to identify trends regarding operational strengths and weaknesses. Once trends have been identified, recommendations for improvements are made. Recommendations during this analysis may include several categories. Operational weaknesses. Training needs. Necessary procedural changes. Required additional resources. Necessary updates and/or required changes. The post-incident analysis also includes completion of necessary reporting procedures required to document personal exposures, equipment exposures, incident reports, staff analysis reports, change or improvement benchmarked for further consideration, follow-up analysis or training. Post-incident analysis forms the basis for improved response. Therefore, schedule follow-up analysis or training to ensure successful implementation.